you call on that name, you'll be saved. And we think of that in context of salvation, of course, and that fits because it's talking about salvation there. But that word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it means a complete salvation. Amen. Jesus didn't just save me from hell. He saved me from sickness. Amen. Many times. He saved me from despair many times. He saved me from financial ruin and mental anguish and emotional torment. Anything you need, call on the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of times I try to get people to worship, you know, and if you just at home would just begin to just say that name of Jesus, that name, the anointing will fall in your living room, in your bedroom, in your vehicle, and God can minister to you, you know, you can get out of the flesh and into the spirit. Just start worshiping Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them, please, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So good to be here on a Wednesday night. Amen. I've missed it. Romans 12 and verse 2. And of course, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. Where would we be without Him? He and His plan and His purpose was your idea, it was your plan. We're so thankful that you loved us so much, that you were willing to sacrifice the best that you had for us. And Jesus, you are wonderful. We love you so much. I think about in the natural realm, kings don't lay their lives down for the least. And when we were outside the boundaries of the kingdom, the Bible says we were enemies of God. We were in darkness. We were children of the devil. But yet, the king came off the throne and laid down his life in such a horrific and brutal fashion, all for us. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you and praise you for that. You're real to us. And maybe our natural mind can't fully comprehend all that goes into receiving you and eternal life. But we have the Holy Ghost in our heart, the Bible says, that's been given as a deposit or a guarantee, because our minds sometimes can't grasp this stuff and our flesh can't either. But in our hearts, we know we are sealed until the day that you either come back or we go to meet you through a natural death. So Jesus, thank you. Holy Ghost, thank you for that comfort, that assurance, that guarantee that in the midst of hell on earth at times, in the midst of chaos, one thing is for sure. We know who we are. We know who we belong to. We know where we're going. And we thank you. It was all made possible by Jesus. And so we praise you and exalt you. Be blessed here tonight. Help us with this service to do what you want us to do. For Father, this is your plan. This is your purpose. This is how you take your people higher and to a different level. And so we're open to utterance and boldness, impartations, revelations, correction, encouragement, whatever you have for us. But thank you for helping us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, if you didn't hear Sunday's message, I do encourage you to listen. And even if you did hear it, I encourage you to listen again. It's just vital, you know, the mind and where the devil works. And we're going to talk a little bit more about those things tonight. But in Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, to be not conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you know the world represents defeat? The world represents loss. Who's the president and the CEO of the world is the devil. I mean, the Bible calls him the god of this world, right? And he's not running a very good company down here. His company's a little out of order and out of whack, you know, but the world has nothing for us. And the world has heartbreak and heartache. It's passing away, the Bible says. And he tells us here, don't conform yourself to that. What's he saying? Don't be a loser. Get over on the victory side. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now, be transformed into what? He doesn't want us to be like the world, then he wants us to be like his kingdom, or be transformed into more of his image, growing into his image, into victory. And so the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but then it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, the perfect will of God has nothing to do with what the world offers us, and so that's why he tells us to be transformed. But he's telling us that it is possible to prove or to test out or to walk into or experience God's perfect will. You see, when you get to heaven, there won't be any need for the renewal of the mind. You know, the Bible says when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll know like him. We won't have that problem with our mind and our flesh, you know. But for now, we have to renew our mind. And it says here that the perfect will of God is at stake if we don't. What's up for grabs here, what's at stake, is whether or not you want to experience abundant life on planet Earth. What's abundant life? Abundant life is the perfect will of God. What's the perfect will of God? Heaven on earth. He says these things are only available to the people that will renew their mind, because the unrenewed mind has a tendency to be conformed to the world, which God's not in that. I mean, don't misunderstand me. God's presence is here and things, but the ways of the world, the ideas of the world, the thoughts of the world, the actions of the world. And so he says, if you want the perfect will of God, it cannot be done unless you think right. And I get the pleasure, sometimes the displeasure, of meeting with people and, you know, having to experience things that they're facing and going through, and you have compassion and empathy and things like that for people. But it just boils down to, many times, unfortunately, people just don't think right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I have dealt with, over the 10 years that we've been here, many people struggling with their money and finances. Many people struggling in relationships. Many people struggling in their body. And a lot of times, their thought process is so messed up. And the result is the perfect will of God, or abundant life, or heaven on earth, is being forfeited. From the mind comes passing or failing in abundant life. It starts from the mind and then branches out. If we can get this under control and this thinking right, transformation happens and an automatic walking into the perfect will of God happens. How you think matters. It's so important. Holy cow. How you think matters, you know, from the mind, pass or fail. How many of you know that, at least for me, I was so fired up to get my learner's permit and my driver's license. I don't know about you, if you were or not, but I was. Like, I just couldn't wait, and I don't even know all the laws and rules now, but back when I got mine, you could get it at 16, and I don't even know if you had to even wait when I was, as long as you could sign up for the test, and if you could pass it, you could get it as soon as you can sign up for the test and pass it. Back when, I don't think it's that way now, but back when I was, you know, getting my license as a 16-year-old, but I couldn't wait, you know. When you get your driver's license and you get a car, a whole new world opens up to you of opportunity and blessings, right? But it starts at a testing ground. And I knew somebody one time, Courtney, wait, what? I had a cough. She went to take their driver's test, and it was in a different state. And so it wasn't like me, I started right on the road, but this place had like a driver's ed place or whatever, and a parking lot, but going onto the parking lot, not even onto the main road. It was onto the side road that led to the main road. So the side road was basically just the road to the building where the tests and all that stuff takes place. There was a stop sign. And this person decided to not stop at the stop sign, heading from the parking lot out to the road that takes you to the main road, and bam, from that place right there, failed, done. That poor person. Who could have done that? And now you wonder why we drive separate to church. it's safer that way, you know? I mean, but yet but then you're thinking, but your kids, Pastor Mike, what's your kids? Figured that one out yet. But anyways, from that place, can't get that right. All this other things that you want to experience, can't get it till you get this right. She did go back the next week and pass. So I do need to put that in there. But anyways, if we don't get the mind right and thinking right, all the things that you hear me talk about and that's available to us, it'll never happen. You can't walk into financial prosperity the way God intends for you to do if you're thinking wrong. I know, because I thought wrong for years financially. You can't walk into divine healing and all these blessings and favor and prosperity and revelation if your mind's wrong, because it's forfeited. It's up for grabs. And so you need to think right. But thankfully, James chapter 1 and verse 21 helps us. It tells us here, James chapter 1 and verse 21. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or rescue your souls. Well, your souls there is not your spirit. They're different. It's talking about your mind. That's the main thing that refers to the soul, is the mind. And it says that the word of God can rescue your soul, because you think, what a renewing of the mind. What do I do that? All it's telling you to do is line your thoughts up with the book. That's it. All renewing of the mind is making your mind look like, right? It's like when someone restores or renews an old car, and they have a 1950s car and it's all rusted out now, you know, but they have a picture of what they want it to look like. What are they doing? They're just renewing and restoring that car to look like that picture, right? That beautiful paint job, all the rust and the dents out, all new parts and things. All renewing of the mind is making sure the way you're thinking is in line with the Word of God. That's it. And if you don't do that, it's like running through that stop sign, failed. You're not getting into where you need to go. I know there's lots of places you want to go, but until you get that right, everything branches out from the mind. Everything. I think one time Pastor Nancy Dufresne, if I remember her saying right, I can't remember, it was over 2 years that she preached nothing to her congregation except on the mind. That's how important it is. You hear it in people, how they talk. You hear it in people's ideas of things, how wrong thinking there is. The Bible is God's thoughts. He thinks from a higher plane and level than anything else, and his thoughts are always thoughts of victory. His thoughts are always thoughts of moving into more and success, and so many people have not adopted his thoughts on things. You know, you think about Abraham, and this will apply to people that are walking in poverty, people that are walking in sickness, people that are walking in depression and fear. But Abraham naturally was walking in something different, wasn't he, than being a father. But God's thoughts were, you're a dad. Why? His thoughts are higher. In fact, so much so he changed his name, right? Well, it's the same thing. If you're walking in sickness, God's thoughts are, you're the healed of the Lord. If you're broke, you're the prosperous of the Lord, right? You're the victorious of the Lord. If you're being oppressed, you have victory. That's how God sees things. But until you adopt it, it's kind of like that driver's ed teacher. They know what's available. They know what's available. If I can just get you to do this, then all this is available and I'll pass you. And God knows what's available to you. But you got to think like he thinks. Amen. And what's amazing on a topic like this is it's so broad. I mean, oh my gosh, it's so big and you can cover so many things. But this is why I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Because how I do things anyway, sometimes he puts things on my, what I call my spiritual radar. Like for right now, I have a couple things on my spiritual radar that I know are going to be birthed and brought forth. There's been messages conceived in my spirit that have not yet been birthed and brought forth, just like a natural childbirth. You know, there's a conception, and then there's, the baby grows and things happen in there, and then there's a birth. Well, same thing with some messages. But then there's other times where you come into it and I didn't really know what we were going to do, if we're going to start a series or where we were going to go. And so the way I do things is I just get quiet and hear from heaven. Because he knows exactly what people need to hear. And what's so amazing is a topic like this, how he can pinpoint specific things to talk about with the renewal of the mind. And when he does that, and I know it's clear, I'm not thinking these things up, all of a sudden, bam, I get three things that this is what you need to talk about. Then I know the people that are going to hear this is what they need to hear. And that blesses me, because then we're not just playing any, meeny, miny, moe in the Bible and just throwing a dart and wherever it sticks. No, let's be skillful. I mean, the Holy Ghost is skillful, so if we learn to be skillful, we can find out some things. Before we look at these areas, remember this, though, that Satan's ground is the mind. That's where he operates. And his goal always is to move you out of a place from a foundation of faith into doubt and unbelief, however he can, whether it's worry, fear, stress, anxiety, depression, condemnation, offense. So remember, that's his goal all the time. So here we go, the three things that were specific. And when the Lord brought it up to me, I was like, okay, let's do it then, Father, whatever you want. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And actually, I'll just tell you right off the bat, we're going three things. It's almost kind of like the movie with Scrooge. What's that called, The Christmas Carol? What are we talking about? Renewing your mind to the right way for the past. Renewing your mind the right way in the present time. And renewing your mind to what the Word says about your future. And I'll tell you what, people sure think wrong about these three areas of time. They're thinking wrong about their past. They're thinking wrong about what's going on right now. And they're certainly not thinking right about what's to come. So let's take a look. And if it steps on your toes, then just thank him. If it corrects you and encourages you, you're going to get something out of this message tonight. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul writing, now remember, the word is God's will. It's what God wants you to take your mind and transform it to, right? Philippians 3 and verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So he's saying, you got to stop holding on to the wrong thing and start reaching to the right thing. Because you can't reach forward. I can't reach for the microphone stand if I'm holding on to the pulpit behind me. If God's goodness and mercy and blessings are out in front of you, but you're constantly holding on to the past, you won't get into them because you can't go two directions at once. And the word says to forget those things which are behind, reach unto something else that's before, press towards the mark. So at times in the letting go of those things, to get out of those things and forward, it's not just a stroll in the park, but it's a press at times. But it's worth the press. I press towards the mark, the bullseye of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what that sounds like to me? The perfect will of God for your life. Bullseye, right? That's what he says, praise God. Forgetting those things. Now, look what it says in verse 15. So he tells you what to do. Let go of the past, reach forward. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. It's a mindset. It's a renewal of the mind to do this. Listen to what the Amplified says. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. What mind? What convictions? Got to let go of the past. Because what's past is done and gone, but what's forward is still to come. That's the realm God is in and wanting us to move into. Now, I can tell you, and maybe you're in here tonight and you'd say, wow, you're hitting the nail on the head with this, Pastor Mike. The past holds so many people back. I mean, people have literally set up camp and are building their structures in the past. Past of condemnation, mistakes and failures, and how could I do this, and how could I do that, and what in the world's wrong with me, and this, and you stay in that place of condemnation. Now remember, why do you think you get those thoughts? Because condemnation is not faith. Because the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You can't be in condemnation and be in faith. The devil wants to keep you there, so he'll keep reminding you. And by you thinking and meditating on it and rolling over in your head and constantly this and that, you are setting up camp there. The past holds people back in fear and how things have been, right? People are in a state of hopelessness in their life. Because why? They're just living in the past. Because how something, well, I'll just use a sickness for example. When 1 year passed on the sickness that I went through, a whole year, and I think in that year's time, I preached a whole series on healing. And I'm a believer in healing, and I'm a preacher of healing. And it's marked by a whole year, and my body's not getting better, it's getting worse. The temptation to be absolutely hopeless at that year's time is there because I'm thinking, this has been here for a whole year and it's getting worse and worse. And so when you are looking backwards, all you're looking at is defeat and failures. And then the thought comes in and you have renewed your mind to the past is my future. But that's not what God says. God does not say the past is your future. Remember, you have to get to where the only thing that determines your future, this is your crystal ball. The Bible, right? And people stay there because this is how it's always been. And then you have no hope. No hope equals no faith. You have no expectation for anything changing. I mean, for how long have you just skimped by on your bills? For how long have your kids been? For how long has this situation been nagging at you? And because of those past things and the time built up and things in the past, you're convinced that's how it's always going to be because you're just living back there instead of looking forward to something changing. You need your mind renewed. And you know what's cool about it is the man that wrote that, he had to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Here's a man that's now called by God to stand before people and tell them about Jesus and declare and try to help people and stand before people that know of his past. One of the hardest funerals I ever did was the other day for my dad's. And the reason is because the room was full of people that knew me when I was just Mike Anderson. And you feel that, you know, you feel that. Not that they're doing anything mean to me or even I'm hearing them say things. It's just, you know what they know. Yeah, it was one of the hardest funerals that I ever had to do to get over my mind that I'm not that person anymore. That person's dead and gone. And how much for Paul to stand before people. I'm sure he stood before people that were friends, relatives, acquaintances of people that he had murdered and thrown in prison and killed. And yet he had to stand up there. But how was he able to do it? By becoming skillful. He moved into the high mark of the calling of God and God's perfect will for his life by how? Becoming skillful in forgetting the past. Now, I'm just going to tell you, naturally, it's impossible to forget the past because you were there. You know what happens, right? But I want to show you what this looks like and what this means. Isaiah 43:25. I want to teach you to be skillful with forgetting the past because it's not naturally an easy thing because you were there, you know. And I, even I, God saying through Isaiah, am he that blotteth out your transgressions for your own sake. And he says, I won't remember your sins. Well, what does it mean when God says, I won't remember your sins? And then in 1 John 1:9, it kind of parallels this where he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of your unrighteousness. When he cleanses you of your unrighteousness and says, I won't remember your sins, what's he saying? He's saying, I won't hold you accountable anymore for what you've done. So to be skillful is to act like God. That means that, yes, I get it. Here, I've gone through years and years, and now I'm standing before some of these people, and thoughts are ripping through my head of my past life. There's nothing magically in me that can make me not think that, right? The thoughts come in, but I cannot act upon what those thoughts are telling me and not hold myself accountable according to my past anymore. What he's saying about forgetting and moving forward is don't let your past any longer determine your future. Don't let it determine your present. What's that mean? Don't let it make you sit there at night and think things over and over again. Now, how are you going to do this? I'm going to tell you how to do this. Don't let it going forward think, how easy for Paul to think, I'm not qualified because of that. How easy for me? Who am I to stand up in front of you all and preach because of that? But I forgot the past because that's what the Bible gives me the license to do. Gives me the permission. It gives me the permission to live as though the past never happened. And he does it for you as well. Now, how do you become skillful with this? Because the devil will be there to remind you. But to forget the past would mean you don't hold yourself accountable. Well, then you couple it with Sunday's message. And when a thought rips through my head 5 minutes before I'm about to go stand before people that I have not been in front of and talked to ever in this capacity, it was always intoxicated and in a place of defeat, in a place of immoral and things, and this is the first time, you know, they've known about things, but this is the first time I've ever stood in front of them in that place before. And you can imagine what's going through my head 5 minutes before, on top of the fact that I'm doing my dad's service and I want to get it right for him and for my sister. All these thoughts are flooding me 5 minutes before. Hallelujah. And so what do? I do what I told you to do on Sunday. Answer those thoughts. The word said, no. Therefore, he that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That guy you're talking about, devil, doesn't even exist anymore. Well, it's not just that. It's devil, doesn't matter that for 2 years I've been sick. God's a God of suddenlies and God's a God of healing and my healing's coming. Same with prosperity. You answer it. But until you throw away that past and stop holding yourself to that by getting sad about it, getting in condemnation about it, all you're doing is rehashing those things. You're not going forward into God. You're not receiving what he has for you. And God says, here's your license, your get-out-of-jail-free card. Let yourself off the hook. But you know what? I'm here to tell you. You know how many people that I'm still to this day for years trying to get them off of the one thing in their past? They just can't move off of. They can if they would do the word. And they're still there and they're thinking wrong. It's holding them back. It's holding them back. It's holding them back. All the time just holds them back. Puts them into sadness. Puts them into fear. Puts them into depression. They'll bring up, well, it's been this long. Well, that tells me you're not in faith. You're in the past. Yeah, come on. You know the mark of some of the greatest athletes, and I didn't have this. I told you one time, I excelled in baseball, but I should have gone a lot farther. And the reason I didn't was because I was a head case. And I don't say that to be facetious or funny or you know, to belittle any mental illness. I was a mess in my mind. And the problem with me was when I would make a mistake, and this moved over into spiritual things, condemnation and beating myself silly. And you know the marks of some of the best athletes, you know what they say about them? They have a short memory. What do I mean? Think about a quarterback who throws a big interception, but the game's not over yet. You see some quarterbacks, they melt down when they do that. And some come back out and still gunslinging that ball, trying to move their, they forget. It's like people that miss big shots, right? The real good ones, no, the only shot that matters is my next one. And that's the mentality you need to have. Yeah, that and this and that, but I'm here today and I'm going forward and God says let it go. But you have to renew your mind to this. God, you said I could do this. You said I could let myself off the hook and let it go. Amen? Amen? The present. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. You're free from your past. See, a lot of people have been convinced, and I'll tell you, I'm telling you, if that year mark, I know that feeling. Because when you're a preacher preaching it, and I know how much I believe in God's healing, and it's not showing up in my body, boy, the temptation to think, well, if it's been there for a year and I haven't gotten rid of it, it's going to be there for the next year. And it was, and a few extra months too. And then when the two-year mark hit, can you imagine the thoughts? I'm a healing preacher. I'm believing this stuff. And the thoughts come that it's never going to change. You can't let the past tell you that. Amen. Yesterday is gone. I am here today believing God for my healing. I am here today believing God for changing my children and changing my job. It doesn't matter how long it's been, because he said to forget. You know what he thinks your past is worthy of? Forgetting it. Letting it go. That's what he thinks your past is worthy of. The present. Now, I would dare say, if it's not now, it doesn't take long for it to happen, but that most people, right here and right now, are facing something in their life that is attempting to press against you, to rob from you, to steal from you, to hurt you, to give you thoughts, pressure, whether it's in the financial arena, with relationships, with your children, whether it's in your body, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever. Most people have something trying to rob from their abundant life. And if you don't, right, what do we say? Just be patient. Just be patient. There's a devil. And what do those things try to do? Try to pull you into worry, fear, doubt, anxiety. Why? That's where the devil can get you. But when we renew our mind to what we are supposed to do with the things right now that are pressing against us, because most people are thinking wrong. You've heard me say it. And the things that are pressing against them right now, they're not doing the right thing with those things that they should be, and they're missing out on the perfect will of God, because you can't have the perfect will of God unless your mind's renewed to how he does it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, that's what we need. We need exalted out of the junk that we're in. We need exalted out of that oppression, out of that pressure, out of that thing that's coming to steal from us. Well, the Bible says if we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt us in due time. That's saying that in the present place that we're in, the here and the now, we're facing something that we need to be exalted out of. And the Bible says if we'll stay humble, in due time, it will come. We will be exalted out of that. But we have to therefore do the right thing in the present to get the due time exaltation. And he says to do that, you got to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Well, thankfully, he didn't leave us to guess what that looks like. He tells us in the next verse, because what's at the end of that verse in verse 6? It's not a period. We're going on to the next thought, he says. Humble yourself so God can exalt you. Here's how you humble yourself. Verse 7, casting all your care, worries, fear, anxieties on him, for he careth for you. Now remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Receive with meekness and graft the word. Make the word look like your mind. Your mind think like the word. Walk into abundant life. You know why a lot of people don't walk into abundant life? Because they have not taken their cares, their anxieties, their fears, their worries, and done this with them. In fact, what people are doing is carrying them themselves. He didn't say to think about your fears, anxieties. Lynn, could you pull that verse up in the Amplified? Because it brings out the word care more there. Praise the Lord. Casting the whole of your care. Now look at this. All your anxieties. All the things that make you worry. Everything you're concerned about. Once and for all. On him. The whole of your care. He says every single thing that could make you worry and get you concerned and stress you out and get you anxious, he says to do something with it. Never in that verse does it say to lay in bed and think about it. Never does it say to talk about it with people. Never does it say to sit there and daydream and to imagine things. No. But that's what we do at times. We take that which is pressing against us, that which is attempting to rob from us, whether, again, it's kids, relationships, marriages, body, money, jobs, anything, and we sit there and we think about the problem and we try to figure out, it doesn't ever say, try to figure out your cares. Nope. He tells you what to do with it. If you want to walk into the perfect will of God, the only option for you with these things is to cast them onto him. Amen. Cast them onto him. Brother Hagin, I love it. He had a revelation. He said, you know how you're worried about something or stressed about something or fearful about something? He said, if you're thinking about it, that means you're concerned about it. I had a situation where there was a property that I was responsible for, and naturally it just weighed and weighed on me because there were things that could be wrong with the structure that was on it, different things, just a whole lot that came with it, that while it was in my possession and my responsibility, had an opportunity to really weigh on me. But once that property was sold and out from under my name and my responsibility, and it was deeded to another person, you know what I found myself? Not thinking about it anymore. I didn't sit and lay around and think, I wonder if the roof's going to make it this winter. I wonder if it's going to leak. I wonder if the heating system is going to last long. I wonder this and that. Like I used to wonder all those things when it wasn't mine anymore. Didn't even cross my mind. And when it did, you know what I thought? Who cares? Who cares? Because the thought would still come, is the roof going to make it? And I'd just be as light as could be and free and I don't care. Doesn't matter anymore. Wasn't mine anymore. And he says, take all these things and make them mine. Transfer the deed of your worries to me. Give me the responsibility of your body, of your family, of your kids, of your job, of your finances, of all these things that stress you out. Give them to me. I want them. See, what's at stake? Your exaltation out of it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How? Casting your cares onto him. See, when you take the cares and you think about it, that's you trying to figure it out. That's you trying to come up with a solution. That's you being prideful. That's you saying, God, I got this. I'll just figure this out myself. That's why he says, humility casts the cares. Now, again, just like forgetting, thoughts are going to rip through your head. Because you'll get fired up and you'll cast it onto him. Father, this situation with my kids, this situation with this person coming against me, this situation with my finances, my business, whatever, I don't want it anymore. I am giving it to you once and for all. Well, who do you think is going to be right there trying to give it back to you? The devil, through thoughts. So again, what's it to go back to? Sunday's message. When the thoughts come, what do you do? It is written. So when the thought comes, just like when the thought comes to me about that building, I just out loud say, who cares? Not mine anymore. Smith Wigglesworth, a faith giant, early 1900s over there in England, apostle of faith, many miracle signs and wonders, raising people from the dead, you know, was just a faith man. He was walking down the sidewalk one day, and his secretary came running out to him with a stack of bills, unexpected bills, and gave them to him and said, Smith, what are we going to do? And he took them and he threw them in the air and he said, I don't care, it's not my problem. It's his. It's like the one time we got that unexpected bill, remember, and you said, what are we going to do about that? It was when we were in our old house. I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. And we got down on our knees, and I waved it in front of God, real, made sure he saw it. I said, you see this, right? You see this. You said, and now this isn't me being ignorant. Listen, when I tell my kids we can go do something, I'm okay with them reminding me of it. That's not being arrogant. And I said, Father, you wouldn't have said Philippians 4:19 if you didn't meet it. You wouldn't have said you would meet all my needs or Philippians 4:19 if you didn't mean it. I said, here's a bill. I give it to you. So then what happened? You gave it to God, but where's the money? Not my problem. And the money came. The money came eventually and everything worked out. But every time the thought would come, that's not mine problem. Imagine the freedom. You know how free I was when that property was not in my name anymore or my responsibility anymore? I don't have to think about it anymore. Imagine the freedom. If that which is stressing you out, you didn't have to care about it anymore. I don't care about that. Because in the caring is where the worry comes. It's where the fear comes. It's where the stress comes. And the devil tries to get you to care about it. So he can ruin your life. Imagine how freeing, you know how freeing it is? Now this is going to sound weird, and you have to qualify it by the word. To not care about the safety of my children. What do you mean by that? Well, when my kids go off to school, or when they go certain places, you hear things on the news, you hear all this different kinds of stuff. It's like, nope, I've casted the care of the worry for my children onto the Father. I'll do the natural things I need to do and follow the Holy Ghost. Don't misunderstand me. But there's things I can't control. There's times I'll leave for trips and the thoughts that come in. And so I'll answer the thoughts. I'll say, Father, you can keep my kids and my family safer than I can when I'm gone than I can myself when I'm at the house. Cast it onto you. It's so freeing. Let him deal with it. But how you take it back is by thinking about it, meditating on it. That's why Sunday's message, you've got to be skillful like Jesus. The devil, this whole mind thing, you can see why Pastor Enzi preached for 2 years. It's an everyday thing for us. The devil's always trying to put a thought in there to get us over into worry, into doubt, and unbelief. Hallelujah. It's kind of like, you know, when you would be in the on-deck circle, you put what they call a donut on the bat. And it was really heavy, depending on you, and you're having a hard time even swinging that thing. And then it's your turn to bat, and you hit the bottom of the bat on the ground, and the donut comes flying off, and that bat becomes so light in your hands. Just so light. When you cast that onto him and realize, that's not my issue anymore. Just like that roof, that's not my issue anymore. That's the person that's got in their name. That's their problem now. And God says, give them to me. Give them to me. I'll take them. Hallelujah. Cast it. Don't take it back. Now, last but not least, your future. I dare to say already we have some homework to do in our own lives. But let me ask you this question, and you ask yourself this in your own mind. What is your expectation going forward? What is your outlook going forward? Is your outlook going forward? Let's break it into categories. That thing in your body that you've taken medicine for years and has hindered you in pain and limited what you do, what's your outlook going forward with that? Your finances, you know how they've been. You know what it's been like every month. You know what you haven't been able to do. You know what you'd like to do, but it's impossible right now. Going forward, what's your outlook? What's your expectation with your money, your jobs and your career and things like that? What is it? You know how your kids have been. You know things that, what's your expectation? Right? Because if your expectation is in the Word and lined up with the Word, it's only good and it's only better and it's going to get better and it's only glory to glory and we're going higher and we're going into more and my money's changing and my body's changing and my kids are changing and my situation's changing and I'm going to experience new things and better things, the best days the rest of my life. That's faith. But most people aren't there. Now, it's not just pie in the sky. Well, why? How can we be, how can we think that? Because it's what the Bible tells you to think on. It's what the Bible tells you you can have. Remember what David said? He said, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. You know what he was saying? Tomorrow is goodness and mercy. The next day is goodness and mercy. Next month is goodness and mercy. He expected it. His future was bright in his eyes. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 15 and verse 15. And then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Thank God for the Amplified. It helps us to understand some of these things, but I'm going to read it first in the King James, Proverbs 15 and verse 15. And this is the way most people live. How do you know? I talk to them. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Now, Lynn, again, would you mind pulling that up in the Amplified? So that doesn't really make much sense to you. Oh, it will. Look at this verse. All the days of the desponding and the afflicted, that's what we don't want to be, are made evil. You know what evil is? Anything outside the boundaries of the Bible. Sickness is evil. It's the receiving of evil. Poverty is the receiving of evil. Depression is the receiving of evil. He says, you know how they're made evil? By anxious thoughts and forebodings. You know what forebodings mean? Always waiting for the other shoe to fall. The expectation that things are going to be bad for me. But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast regardless of circumstances. Oh, man. This is where we're really getting up under the uncomfortable places. Because most people that I talk to, their expectation is it's how it's always been and it's never going to change. They're not looking forward like Caleb's looking forward to the elk hunt someday, like we talked about on Sunday, which is with what? Pure excitement, pure anticipation, and 100% assuredness that it is going to happen. Are you looking at your healing trip, your financial trip, your favor trip, the same way that boy is looking at that trip? If you're not, then you're not in faith. All the days the desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and forebodings, by the anticipation, the expectation that it's just going to always be bad. Well, you know why you think that way? Because you've taken wrong thoughts. You need to renew your mind. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready to renew your mind? Amen. To your future? Praise God. Amen. Philippians 1 and verse 6. We'll go back to the King James. You know what me on the walk in the middle and a year and a half into the sickness and is worse, and I'm pretending on the walk like I'm preaching my healing testimony and healing's nowhere to be found? You know what that is? That's an expectation. That's a belief. Things are changing. You know what? $2,000 short a month for 2 years with no salary, no insurance, saying all my debts are paid, I'm going to have insurance and I'm going to have a salary someday. You know what that rejoicing and being excited was? It was just an expectation of believing that things are changing and I'm going forward into goodness and mercy. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Look what the Bible says here. Being confident of this very thing. Well, from this place on now, because this is God's word, you can now be confident of this, because God doesn't lie. That he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. Amen. Well, it hasn't happened yet. So what? What's that mean? It just means it hasn't happened yet. It doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. In fact, the word says he's going to perform it. He's doing something in you. Hallelujah. Go to Lamentations 3 and verse 25. Hallelujah. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. Again, Lynn, I'm going to have you, after I read this, pull that up into the Amplified. The Lord is good unto them. Now remember this. God always wants to be good to people. Yeah. But what does it take for God to show his goodness? Faith. Yeah. It takes people's faith for him to be able to do that. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Will you pull that up in the Amplified? Here we go. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him. Now, when it talks about him, him is healing. Him is your blessing. Him is your money. Him is your peace. Him is your turnaround. And the Bible says the Lord's good to those who are hopeful and expectant of him. Not forebodings and doom and gloom. You are handcuffing your Father from bringing you into what you need to be brought into because of your attitude and your thought process on what's to come. The Lord's good to those. Go with me to Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Only you can answer what your thoughts have truly been. And I'm going to give you some verses at the end to renew your mind to help your future. I mean, Philippians 1 and verse 6 is one. Psalms 23, when David said goodness and mercy, that wasn't just available to David. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait on him. Again, Amplified, please, Lynn. Talking about an expectation of your future, not doom and gloom, renewing your mind. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. What's being gracious to you? Receiving of his grace. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, blessed, happy, fortunate. We'll go to the next slide. To be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, his matchless, unbroken companionship. Doesn't it say in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro? Just find somebody who believes in me. If you would do the middle or the first part, forgetting the past, and then take care of casting your cares of the present tense, the last part of looking forward to the future, becomes easy. Because you get the past out of the way, you get the problems in the present out of the way, now all I got to do is look forward to the good. But when you wallow around in your past, and wallow around meditating on the present problems, how could you look forward to anything good? Your whole life is consumed with nothing but bad. And what does that do? The devil says, gotcha, because then you have no hope, no faith, no expectation of things changing. And the Bible clearly tells you he's waiting for people to expect or believe him. Praise God. Got to change our attitudes, people. And if you, when you bring up, well, it's been, who cares? That's my point. That doesn't matter. All that matters is my tomorrow. Two verses and we'll close. Romans 8:32, to renew your mind to this for your future. Romans 8:32. I'm glad we're here on Wednesday. Amen. Amen. Oh, Pastor Mike, how do you expect me to believe for good things coming? Because that's what he tells you to do. That's what he promised for you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He wants you to move into that. He wants you to walk into that. He wants you to be exalted out of something and into something. And you know how you can be assured of it? My goodness, he already showed me by giving me a son. He already gave me the best. He's not holding back. He's not holding back. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. Wasn't planning on going there, but you need to see he's not holding back. He's not holding back. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God, all the promises, the answer is yes. Yes, I want them for you. Yes, I want them for you. I'm just asking you to forget the past, give me your present, and look forward into the good things of my promises for the future. Praise God. And we'll close on Ephesians 3 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses. Just to give you a little insight to what I do every day, Father, I thank you the best days of the rest of my life are yet ahead of me. I haven't even lived them yet. I thank you for days of heaven on earth. I thank you that I live long, healthy, wealthy, protected, and strong on this earth. I'm not sick, broke, in danger, or weak. One day in my life, health, wealth, and vitality are the mark of my life. That's what I'm looking forward to every single day. And let's face it, most people are like, is this ever going to end? This is the way it's always going to be. I can't believe this. And you're just thinking, not me. Nope, not me. If you don't want it, I'll take yours too. But I'm looking into some things. What? The crystal ball. And I always tell them this. I say, Father, I thank you for days of Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 days for me, which are what? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think, that's who your God is. Yeah. Father, I thank you for blowing my mind in the future. Yeah. Doing things for me that I can't even wrap my brain around. That's how good you are. Yeah. But how many of you are really having the expectation like your pastor is? I hope all of you. And if not, get there. Yeah. But a lot of you are still just wallowing in your past, stressing about your present. And because your past is so real to you and your present is so real to you, your future doesn't look like it's going to be anything different than your present and your past. But you have marching orders now. You have homework. I just want you to get it so bad. I want you to walk into some things. You know, I was telling somebody the other day through a text message, I said, you know, I've got to watch a lot of people. And a lot of people don't experience what God has for them. They don't move into it. They don't move into it. But you know what? Remember the slick text that I sent the other day that faith can take it? I'll tell you where it came from. Pastor Scott told me something I said to him years ago, and it stirred something up in me. When Pastor Scott went through that trial with his son Joshua, who they told would be mentally disabled for the rest of his life, and he's not. And he was going through hell on earth and things with the kid's brain and all this stuff. I remembered something that Pastor Michael told me back in my trials, that Pastor Mike, faith can have it. And I told Pastor Scott, I said, faith can have that on that phone call. And he said that was the turning point in that situation for him, that it lit a spark. And he brought up to me. And then when he brought it back to my remembrance, because it's the word, it's true, it lit another spark in me. But all faith is an expectation or a belief that what you see and are feeling and experiencing is not what it's going to stay like. Amen. Believing in your crystal ball. Amen. But you got to get rid of the past and got to take care of the present and then renew your mind to the future. Amen? Father, thank you. We praise you tonight for the Word of God. Oh, we're so grateful for the Word of God. Let's just, come on, let's praise Him for the Word of God. I mean, like, give Him some praise tonight. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We're sold out to your ways. We're sold out to your ways. We're sold out to your ways. We thank you. A new day. The future looks good. Goodness and mercy. Turnarounds, deliverances, changes, suddenlies. A windfall of finances. Great, great increase. Divine healings. Favor like we've never experienced before. Yes. Our present and our past is no indicator of where we're going. Think how freeing that is if you renew your mind to that. Your past and your present are no indicator. They don't mean a thing to where you're going. They try to convince you that they do, but they don't mean a thing. Only what God says means a thing. Lord, thank you. We renew our mind to that. And we praise you for it tonight. We love you and glorify you. Now, Father, I know that everyone in this room is born again. But if people that are watching are not born again, we pray that they would not pass from this life until they've made eternity a reality for them of heaven, which, Father, you've made it so simple. All you said is if we would believe on Jesus, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. You take all the guesswork out of it, all the religion out of it, all the jumping through hoops, all the questions. You said just do the right thing with Jesus, and heaven is yours. And so, Father, I pray that people that are watching, if they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray tonight would be the night that they would not go another minute. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to ever step foot in this church. It's about what you do with Jesus. It's not church attendance. It's not good deeds and bad deeds, crossing one another out or outweighing one another. It's not about charitable giving. It's about Jesus. And if you're watching by live stream right now or in the future by the archive and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, but you could say, Pastor Mike, I believe in him. I know he's real. Can't explain everything, but in my heart, I know he's real. You need to enter into a relationship with him. You just cry out to him with a prayer that sounds like this. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're real. You died. You rose again. I know that in my heart. And I believe you are seated at the right hand of the Father. And I ask you to come in to my heart. I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean that, he'll save you. Become his child. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us know. Give us an email. Give us a phone call. Whatever. But thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're good to us, Father. You're good to us. You're good to us. We praise your wonderful name. We praise your wonderful name. It was worth it tonight, Father, to be here. It was worth it tonight. Thank you. You blessed us. We praise you. And Lord, we just love you. And as we go forward, we make up our minds. We'll be different. What a slap in your face to not believe you after what you've done for us. Because it's really doesn't even make sense to believe that you gave us Jesus, but yet at the same thought process to believe that we're going to have to be sick the rest of our life. Doesn't even make sense. To believe that we're going to have to be broke. To believe that we're going to have to, our kids are going to be this way or this or that. It's just, it doesn't even make sense. Either you believe that he gave you Jesus, and because he gave you Jesus, everything's got to change. Or you just don't believe in Jesus because you can't have one without the other. Like, if you believe in Jesus, then good things come. That's what Romans 8:32 says. I gave you my son. You should believe in this other stuff too. But we love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take up our offering. We're just going to go ahead and fill these out and go ahead and pray over these and believe God and release our faith. Thank you for your faithfulness. I'm excited to get back to the days when we can fellowship and things like that. Praise the Lord. They'll come, you know. And I also am excited when this is all past us to be able to explain some things, if the Lord permits me, from behind the scenes, why we do certain things. What, you know, he's been so good to me at times to help my little brain that fights things. But this is why I say, oh, okay, I see why now. Okay, you're smarter than me, you know. But Father, thank you for the opportunity to give tonight. Lord, we're blessed to take care of the palace. This is our palace. This is our home. And Father, we just declare all the needs of this church are met. All the needs of our individual lives are met. We call this place debt-free. Father, in Jesus' name, everybody say this after me. Say, all the money that my church needs, it comes. All the money my business needs, it comes. All the money that I personally need, it comes. I call this building paid off in Jesus' name. Now let's rejoice and thank him for it like we believe it's true. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. We ask you just to wear your mask, but you can all just go at the same time. Feel free to even say hi to one another. Just have your masks on. We just ask when you're up and about, have your masks on. Love you. We'll see you Sunday.